Well, it's 2023, January 2023. What will we look like in January 2023? Tonight, we're going to talk about our vision and where we're going to be, God willing, in January 2023. In January of 2020, I talked to you about this and shared with you some of it. But boy, how many of you just feel like when COVID came, the world has almost, in a sense, stopped? Do you feel that way? It's going, but it's strange. It's just a strange time. So I thought it would be good for us to revision where we are and where we're going. So what I've given you tonight, if you've not received one of these pamphlets, you can just hold up your hand. Our faithful ushers do a great job. We'll give you one. Is a guide that I will read through everything of it tonight. No, I'm not going to read through every word of it tonight, but I will walk you through it. But it's yours to keep, and I have a homework assignment for you to do on it to over the next couple of years. So hold on to that with me, all right? So as this document reminds us, it is January 2023. It has been 3 years since we first started on this part of our journey. The document describes the vision we had since that first time and what we have become. This document has been our guide. Back then, we did not know what our Lord would have before us, but in faith we moved forward. While some progress is what we envisioned, some things were not. In some ways, the Lord Jesus Christ led us further than we would have imagined. In other ways, He wisely redirected our steps in it all. We thank Him for how He's worked. One thing hasn't changed, our mission to glorify God by developing and deploying disciples in this generation for the next. So there are a number of different areas that we will talk about tonight that I want to give you some updates on. I'll let you, of course, you can read that on your own. So let's talk about just a number of areas for the next few minutes. Let's talk about missions in 2023. So many of the things that we're doing are good things and that are right things. And with God's help, we'll continue to do. You'll notice that one of the areas that we would love to see happen in our ministry is to really, in a further way, expand working with churches and church planting. And if God would give us favor, we'd really like to be even more influential and active with church planting or church replants or even giving supporting materials or material support and other support to help churches that are struggling. And there are churches all across America that are really in a state of struggle. This is amazing to me. I've heard two different research. One is secondhand, and one I saw firsthand. Two different research projects since COVID-19 that say, one says that according to this research project, 25% of people attending an evangelical, that's a very broad spectrum, an evangelical church that were somewhat regular attenders prior to COVID-19 will never return. Another one of our missionaries, Bruce Burkholder, he was one of our missionaries today, highlighted today. I talked to him a few weeks ago, and he read one that said 30%, they're guessing, of people that somewhat regularly attended an evangelical church, again, that's very broad, would not return after COVID-19. They just got out of the habit. Now, how many of you think that's a little concerning, right? So what that means is churches will have struggles. And I think in any time there are struggles, we can look at it as a struggle or we can look at it as an opportunity. And it may be that God would help us to be able to be a blessing, especially to churches that need just that little bit of help that we might be able to partner with them. So it's one of our things that we would love to see happen. Beyond that, let's talk about our next area. Let's talk about evangelism in 2023. This is a change that is really the Lord has made very clear. We have done GROW as our systematic plan for outreach ministry over the last number of years, and it's had its place. But I'm just convinced that God has some different approaches, and we're working on it little by little. I wish I had a big, full-blown, this is the way we're going to approach it, but it's really little by little, piece by piece. And as we re-enter into outreach ministry and we are seeking the Lord, that we will further, I'll just share with you little by little what God is doing. But I wish you would pray about this. Because we all want to see people saved, don't we? Don't we want to see people saved? And I wish you would really pray about it. And while we're thinking about it, let's think about who that one person is you are praying for. Who are you looking for, that person that God's bringing into your life that he wants you to share the Lord Jesus with him, with him or her? So evangelism, that's where we are. You'll see a number of things about it that we are already implementing. We'll see more and more of this as time goes on. But that's all I think I need to talk to you about tonight with evangelism. Let's talk about another area tonight. And it's on the inside of your... There you, a sea of pages turning. That is one thing, you know, when you turn Bibles, Bibles aren't nearly as loud as that. When you turn Bibles, you don't hear those as much. And when you're turning telephones or iPads, you don't hear that at all. But developing and deploying disciples in 2023. And there are a number of things that are written there for you to consider. But I want to ask you this question about discipling. Who is discipling for? Who needs to be discipled? Who needs to do discipling? Now, if you think, well, brand new believers need to be discipled, are you right or wrong? Well, that's right. But is being discipled only for new believers? I think sometimes we get intimidated and we think, well, being discipled is for new believers. And there's some people should do that, and that's fine. But reality is, every one of us ought to be discipling somebody, and every one of us ought to be being discipled in some way by somebody. Every one of us have people that we need to input into their lives in a spiritual way and about their spiritual journey. That's discipling. Discipleship is not just a program, though a system is helpful. And listen, I do it. I understand it. It's helpful, but it is multifaceted. And everybody ought to have somebody that they are investing in their life, that they're discipling. And you know, every one of us needs somebody that is a mentor, a disciple for us. So and if you did summer ministry fellowships this summer, we talked about those disciples' relationships. Each one reach one, evangelism, each one encourage one, a peer relationship, each one follow one. That's somebody that is discipling us. And each one lead one, somebody that we're discipling. Discipling is for everybody. And nobody outgrows it. In fact, in life, it may be and should be that over time our influence increases because we're touching lives, and those lives are touching lives, and our influence directly and indirectly should increase for the Lord. Our goal is in 2023, by 2023, that 80% of our new members, adult new members, have been through our Steps in Faith, or if they're an RU, through an RU discipleship. 80%. You say, that's pretty bold. It would be, if 80% of us had the grounding that comes in a discipling relationship, in the encouragement relationship, it would be a transformational. So that's what we're working toward. 80%. Now that means there are going to have to be people who are willing to invest in other people, and it means there are going to have to be people who are willing to be invested in. And it's going to take a while to get there, but in January of 2023, that's where we will one day be. And something else related to this, our ABCs and our kids' Sunday schools are a key discipleship tool, and we want to develop through these key discipleship relationships. And in your life, And I'll speak to our adults, our kids too, but to our adults and our teenagers more than I am to our kids on this. In your life, you have to decide at some point, am I going to come to give or am I going to come to get? Right? See, in life, there are givers and takers. There are people that give and there are people that take. There are people that build and there are people that just go along for the ride. And in your life, you're going to have to decide what kind of a person do you want to be. And even when it comes to your adult Bible class, you have to decide, am I going to be part of building something and building people? Am I going to go to my class and am I going to go to church in order to give and bless and lift others up and invest myself in others? Or am I going to go to just take and receive? What you'll find in life is if you live to give, in the end, you've received far more than you'll ever give. And you'll find if you live to get, oh, you will get far less than you would have ever received if you had lived to give. It's really two mindsets. And I hope that you're going to say, hey, let's see what we can do to be a builder and a giver and to bless others and make our class a place where people are following the Lord and we're discipling together and growing together in our relationships. And not just for the sake of having a friendship, though it's wonderful to have friendships, but for the sake of exhorting one another daily. While it's called today, so much the more as you see the day approaching, as Hebrews reminds us. So developing and deploying disciples, there are other things you can read there, but I think tonight, that's all I really need to say. Let me say one more thing, and that is part of discipling is training people in the work of the Lord, right? And this is a mindset that is really, I think, significant, and that is you always think we want to train more people than we need. Because if you train more people than you need, guess what you'll find? You need them. And if we don't train people, then really, when God opens doors, if people aren't trained, we've missed the opportunity, right? So you train people, and you train people, and you prepare people more than they need. And because the time will come when that person is going to be just ready to go. And this is I think, a paradigm shift, a change of mindset. Let's keep working on training people and training people and training people and giving opportunities and watching what God does as He grows and develops people and opportunities for that matter. Well, let's talk about children's and youth ministry in 2023. There we go. I think one of the things that when we reach 23, we're continuing to be proactive in looking for ways to continue to expand this area of our ministry. But beyond what is all written there, I'm not going to do any say much more beyond what's written there, except for this. I want us to think about this for our adults, about can I connect in discipling young people? There's a book called by Ken Ham. It's a research project. It's called Already Gone. How many of you have seen, maybe that's familiar, Already Gone? Very interesting. Very interesting research project. You know, one of the most important things that happens in the life of a young person that keeps following the Lord when they leave those teen years and move into their adulthood years? Do you know one of the most important things that research found? That is, there was a key relationship with an adult, a follower of the Lord. It wasn't necessarily their family. It wasn't necessarily someone who is a pastor type person. But there was a key adult individual in a congregation that made a relational investment in that young person that made all the difference. Do you know that's something every one of us can do? Because you can look around and you can look at that person who is 20 and that person who's 15 and that person who's 9, and you can begin to initiate a relationship with that person. And be such an encouragement to that individual. How many of you, now looking back, you all that are, if you are over the age of 19, how many of you looking back on your life can think of individuals like that, that even, maybe even from your childhood or early on in your faith journey, individuals, not necessarily pastors, but individuals that were people of your, that in your congregation, in your life, that really made an impact in your life? And that's most of you. And, you know, I would love that 20 years from now, for that matter, let's say 3 years from now, that if I ask this same question, that somebody raises their hand, and when they raise their hand, you are that individual that's on their mind. That's an investment of your life. So, children's and youth ministries. Hey, let's talk about staff in 2023. You see something there about this. This is an area that we're in transition. And really, there's some things that we've learned, and that is that we have to really be aware of training and involving people, because I'm so grateful for so many people that are taking partnerships. And I've learned about that we really need to think about changing and developing organizationally to help us all. And I'm so glad that God is able. It's thrilling to watch some of the things that God is doing in our church through this. But can I tell you something I shared with our deacons? Early on, we had, early on in the whole COVID deal, we had a Saturday morning meeting with our deacons and our finance officers and I. We had to have 9, or couldn't go over 10. That was when you couldn't have more than 10 people meet in the same place. And so we met together and we talked about a number of things. One of the things we talked about was, okay, with COVID, how do we approach this? What's our, what are we trying to do here? What do we need to be aware of? And then what's our path forward? The men were very helpful. I gave those men a copy similar to of this to, that you have. And I told them this. I said, now, men, one of the important questions we have to ask ourselves is, do we have the people in place right now to make this happen, to be part of this in 2023? And you know the first person we need to figure out if this is the right person? Me. And I have to be honest with myself, because a vision is always bigger than an individual. Always. A vision is always bigger than an individual. And one of the things I have to really ask myself when I go through this is, does this mean, for this vision to happen, am I the pastor that God wants to lead this vision to go forward? Now, I'm not expecting to leave. I'm hoping I am. I can't imagine being anywhere else than with you. I don't know if there's any place else I'd rather go. There are no other people I'd rather spend my life with than you. But if, and I have to be honest to say to myself, if I'm not the person that God wants in this role as your pastor to lead in this vision, I need to be willing to die to self and say that the mission is bigger than any man. The mission is bigger than a position. And you know, that's the way all of us ought to approach life. The mission God has is bigger than any one of us individually. And so for us to do this, I've realized that there are areas in my life I have to grow. I really have to grow. And if I can't grow, or not, if I won't be willing to grow, then I have to be willing to go. You don't seem nearly as thrilled about that as I do. I'm not thrilled. I'm just saying that in life, you just have to be willing to, you have to grow. And there are some things for this to become, these things to become reality, where I'm going to have to grow. And we're going to have to grow and ask God to bring the right partners in to the right places to be part of what God is doing. And I'm already so thrilled about some of the good things that God is doing in that regard. Well, let's talk about your favorite subject and mine, finances. Yes. I know you were just looking forward to it. You're saying, oh, this is going to be so good. We finally get to talk about money. I'm really glad that we don't talk about money here a whole lot. I really am. Do you know why? Because you are, as a congregation, as a whole, you are very faithful and principled in God's money that He puts into your hands. And I'm so grateful for that. Believe me, I'm thrilled and I'm so proud of you for it. Now, COVID has messed up our progress in this a little bit. We're doing well financially, but we have much to do for the ease of communicating where we are financially and then aligning our finances and our vision. I'll talk about that in a little bit. And then we have another area that I didn't put a slide up for, and that is ushers and safety. And we want to expand these, that where we have more people, men and women, involved in safety. And boy, who would have ever thought that you would need to have a safety ministry in church? It's crazy. I don't know. I can't think of a time. Maybe you're this way. I can't think of a time that I was ever aware that more people carried regularly personal firearms. But I'm telling you, if I walked into this church to do harm, I wouldn't want to, because I don't know if you'd have a chance of walking out of here. Now, you might be carried out of here. And I hope whoever is carrying, and I'm not talking about bodies, I'm talking about carrying, doesn't turn into Barney Fife and look at this as an opportunity to be Barney. I'd rather you'd be Andy Taylor. But isn't it crazy to have a safety team? But it's a reality, isn't it? It is a reality. And if you ever want to have somebody who is mentally unbalanced to show up in church, we'll have Pastor Alexander preach. He has a way. He has a way of doing this. It's remarkable. It's a gift. So we want more people involved in safety. We want more people involved in ushering. We'd like to organize it more so more people can just be part of what God is doing and bless others in that way. Let's talk about another area. Let's talk about worship and music in January 2023. We will continue to learn new congregational songs. Hey, we just learned one this month, didn't we? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. We just learned a new one this month. We'll continue to learn new congregational songs. And we have a few that we've sung the choruses to and learned over the last couple of years. But we learned the chorus and not the verse. And I think in the future, we're probably going to learn the verses to those to add to your to the depth of our congregational music. And we'll just keep learning new things congregationally. We're going to keep working on choral, and yeah, we'll eventually get back to instruments and choir and all of those things, but we want to keep working on development of these areas, and it goes back to a stewardship mindset, right? That God gives us abilities, and are we, whatever the ability, are we using that? And then we have some of our young people who are playing, and they're learning to sing, and are we developing them and preparing them? Are we training piano players and organ players who not only play the manuals but play the pedals? Are we faithful stewards of the abilities that God gives the people of our congregation? And it goes back. Music is a way. There are many ways to involve, but music is a way to grow and develop people. And I like to call it this, and this is not just about music. This is about every area of your life, whatever God gives you an ability to do. And in your document there, I called it convictional stewardship. It means that God has put this in my life. And I believe that God has given this to me, and this is not a matter of convenience. This is a matter of conviction that I must be faithful in stewarding what God has put into my life. Does that make sense? And for each of us, there are different things that God has put into our life. We're all unique individuals placed in a body in a unique way, each for a purpose. And for each of us then, I hope that you begin to view your life this way, convictional, that it is my conviction that I must be faithful to God in stewarding what God has put into my life. Now, I realize that everybody's different and there are uniquenesses and we all view things differently. I understand that. But what I hope is that whether it's a person that plays an instrument or has the ability to sing or is a warm person that can usher, there are so many things that take place. We're going to recognize people in the areas of ministry they have at our anniversary coming up, at the anniversary breakfast in a few weeks. And we begin to think through all the areas where people are involved. You may or may not even realize that people are involved in making things happen behind the scenes, that you come to church and everything's great and you say, wow, this thing, it just happens. It doesn't just happen because there are so many of you that are involved in part of making it happen that you may not even realize, right? So, convictional stewardship. And I hope this becomes just your way of life. Well, beyond that, let's talk about resources in 2023. All right. And you'll see a number of things that are happening, and some of this is already in the works. Some of this will be in the works. You see it there. And let me tell you about something that is exciting that's happening with MAP. Last week we talked about MAP. Brother Kyle's our MAP resident this year. But there's something really interesting happening with MAP. David McCrum, of course from our church in South Africa, took the MAP concept and he took our whole paradigm and just took it down to South Africa. And the team that was in South Africa last year, you were there. You met Brother Clive. You all met Brother Stembiso. Brother Stembiso is the first MAP resident, right? And you were there. You went to that work. You were part of the work there. And you met, of course, Brother Clive is now the pastor at Faith Baptist Church. And you all met Jan. Jan is a MAP resident that Brother Stembiso is training. And really some neat things that are happening there. So Brother McCrum has had a change of ministry that's still taking shape. And of course, he's really, the COVID-19 is, he's stuck here and couldn't go back. And their plan to go back to South Africa and in their time there. So he has been working on expanding, and there's a term that you all in business understand. I'm not sure if I really understand it. Scaling MAP, and there are different kinds of things that he's working on MAP, but he's got this name changed, Arbor. I spent, an hour or so with him on the phone Friday talking about the things that are happening here, and he is taking our MAP program as its core, and then he's adding some other things in. There's a church in Fredericksburg that has had now for 2 weeks their first pastoral resident following our MAP ministry setup. And he's really working on this. And what he wants to do is really something that's listed here. It's been one of our dreams, but I don't know how to get there. But he's working on building a network of churches that he's calling them Arbor churches. And I wish I would have brought, I have this written down in the legal pad of the notes I took in our meeting the other day on the phone, about Arbor, which is think of a framework, an arbor. If you are growing grapes, you have a grape arbor. And on this, then the grapes grow and expand and are more fruitful. And that's really the idea where we're training and mentoring through relationships, mentoring ministry relationships, men in ministry. And so we're taking, for instance, some of the things that we use here in MAP, some of the written documents that we use, reports that the guys do, things that we do weekly for pastoral staff and evaluations, formal evaluations, necessary nine, event experience, a number of things that we use. He's building this website that's going to become a resource for MAP churches. And some of these are things that they just come right out of what we're doing and what we've had to learn by experience and experimenting and trying new things and finding what does work and what doesn't work. And, you know, I've found that I've made enough mistakes, I've actually learned a few things along the way. If you make enough mistakes, you learn something. And so it's really very exciting. And so there, and he's working about doing things online and other things with all of that, and just creating a place where MAP churches or Arbor churches can collaborate together. We can share resources. He wants us to do, wants me to do some videos, just short videos talking about different things that guys are supposed to watch, which is hilarious to me to think of that. But it's really exciting. It's really exciting. So he's telling me about all these things, and boy, there's an idea of a core program like we use, and then some other things for lay leadership development, and some other things for summer ministries, like what we do, a sprint we've done a couple times with a couple of our own men, and some other things that are really exciting, that it's just one of those things that I think God is doing. And what Brother McCrum says he's finding is there are men, pastors, who have a real heart to mentor men like this. And they're doing it and they're trying to do it, but they really don't have the tools. They just don't know how. It's just something that we don't train people that way. We train people in our culture by going to school. And there's some, which is wonderful. I'm for it. But there's more to it than that. That's what MAP does. So it's really, to me, really exciting. And we're part of it. Hopefully this fall, he and I are going to have another meeting, and there'll be some things up on a website and some other things that we'll be able to see where it is. And we're going to hopefully give some advice to say, okay, we're on target here. Here are some things that really aren't going to work. Because here's the one thing about MAP. And excuse me, I get passionate about this. The one thing about MAP that you have to be careful of, I told Brother McCrum this, I said, here's my concern. And this was highlighted to me a few years ago by one of our guys in our church. And he said, be careful that MAP doesn't become a system and a program with processes and steps and all, and I'm for that. But ultimately, MAP is about a relationship. It's people investing in that person. And all of these other things that are very strategic are very helpful. But I told Brother McCrum, I said, listen, the bottom line is there has to be a church and pastors who are willing to relationally invest in men. Because before Jesus ever had a curriculum and a guide, he was the curriculum. He invested in men. And they changed the world. So those are resources, and there's more to that, but I'm not going to talk about it tonight. I'm almost done. Let's talk about facilities. We have two sections of facilities. Turn your page. Go ahead. There we are. There's updates and expansions, and there's a facility master plan. Boy, this COVID thing has messed us up in many regards. Things, all of our lives have changed. We've all changed. But there are some real advantages that I think God is helping us in this. One of the things that was wonderful is that when this whole COVID thing came, we said, okay, let's start to get some prices to find out what it's going to take to update that gym kitchen. How many of you missed the old gym kitchen? It was beautiful, wasn't it? You walked in, and I don't know if you're this way, but I walked into that place, and I just wanted to walk out. This is just sort of, I'm not sure there's a theological term for that, but So we said, hey, let's start getting some prices together and maybe just to get an idea of what it's going to cost to do this. And we started to get prices and contractors were available. And so we just started getting it done and getting it done. And now, how many of you love that new kitchen, huh? Isn't that great? Boy, we have used, even in the short time, that kitchen has gotten more use than that old kitchen I think had in a long time. It's just such a pleasant place, and the way it's designed is has multi-uses to it. It's fantastic. And hey, that's one that we weren't expecting to get done, but it's the way the Lord had it, and it's done. How many of you are glad it's all done? Yeah, I am glad. I'm glad. I'm glad the old one's in the past and the new and improved is in the pleasant. So we'll continue to work on facilities just like that. We have things that need to be updated. And of course, in the years that we've been in this building, that's how we've done it, right? Little by little, little by little, little by little, things get worn and you update them a little more. Things need that next step, and we'll keep doing that. And then we hope to, or by 2023, we will have a phased facility master plan. That means that we'll have a map out on this facility. What are we going to do next? Where are we going to go as we build from one part to the other to the other? And we will work on that. So once you have a plan in place, then it's a whole lot easier to move forward. It gives you a lot of flexibility, actually. And so we will continue to do that. Our alignment in 2023. I'll tell you what. There we go. All right. Thank you. I think Austin helped me. The clicker was not clicking. When we have ministry plans and facility plans, then it really helps to bring everything in line and you can move forward with great progress and focus. That's one of about getting anything done in your life. You have to focus, right? How many of you are people, be honest, are people that have a hard time focusing? How many of you are one of those? Yeah, I'm one of those. A little bit of ADD, have a hard time focusing. You're maybe that way. But if you want to get something done, you have to focus. So when you bring all of these things into alignment and we know where we're going and we're very satisfied this is the direction God has, then little by little, one by one, you begin to focus and things will move forward. In our perspectives, we have a letter that describes this. It is letter S for supportive structure. It means that we're organized for ministry. And I'm learning, unfortunately, the hard way, but I'm learning that to think about long-term involvement in maximizing opportunities, it takes people and systems to sustain ministry. You can only go so far if you don't have systems to put people in ministry and have people carrying out ministry and building ministry together. So we're learning. Now, what hasn't changed? Because it's January 2023. Here's what hasn't changed. What hasn't changed is the principles that guide us. What hasn't changed is our dependence on the Lord. What hasn't changed is our desire to be balanced and grounded, distinctive, proactive. And almost every Sunday, you'll see one of those words when we open up our day in worship at 8:15 or at 10:30. We use those words because we want to maintain this, to be balanced, grounded in the word, distinctive and proactive. Well, what about the future? It's January 2023. Some things haven't changed, some things have changed. In some ways, God, when it's January 2023, we'll look back and God will have taken us further than we ever would have thought. In other ways, God will have redirected our steps in ways that we didn't expect. But in the end, because we're submitted to the Lordship of Christ and the Word of God, we're dependent on Him, and we are living with Spirit-empowered prayer, in the end, we'll look back and we will rejoice over all that God has done for us. Now, here's my job and your job. Let's start with your job first. Here's your job. Your job is to take this copy and put it somewhere you can remember to pray. Just pray through this every so often. That's one of the things we would just pray. Ask God, do you really believe that God is a God that hears and answers prayer? Really? Really? I've often wondered about that, if we as God's people really believe that God hears and answers prayer. And here's what I want you to do. As you read through this, every time you see that, look here, we've accomplished this. I want you to take a pen or a pencil and mark it, line through it, put a check mark, start or something. That every step, hey, there's progress. Now, I have good news. You can already mark one off tonight before you go, when you go home. Mark off that gym kitchen. Hey, there's one step made. We got off to a great start in January, and we're moving along, and COVID came, and things seem like they stopped. Life still goes on, but it just didn't feel like things are moving forward. So every time we get to cross one off, it's, hey, God's moving it forward. God's moving us forward. It's exciting. And by January 2023, there will be a lot of marks on your pamphlet, because you're going to see the things that God is doing one by one by one by one. And at times you'll feel like there's nothing going on, but believe me, God is always up to something, and you'll be part of it. So that's your job. Now here's my job, and I need you to help me with this and hold me accountable. My job is to systematically read through this with our leaders and systematically think through are we progressing on this? Or is this just talk? That all looks nice, but that doesn't get anything done, does it? Having a piece of paper doesn't get anything done. So are we systematically reading through it? Are we systematically evaluating the progress that we're making? And so now you know what our God is going to do, and I absolutely believe that He will do this. And you know, you never know what God is going to do. I mean, hey, how about something crazy? God may think that to do His will, we need to relocate again. That'd be crazy, wouldn't it? Hey, don't ever limit what God can do. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, world without end. Amen. We are, the Apostle Paul said, laborers together with God. I'm glad we're on the journey together. Let's see where God will take us. Would you stand and we'll pray? Well, Lord God, it's really been so interesting the way things have gone already this year. Boy, so many things that none of us would have anticipated in January. In January, it seems like forever ago, we had we were looking forward to a new year. The President of the United States was in the midst of an impeachment trial. There was an election going on, and things seemed fairly normal. But boy, how things have changed. And in all of it, Lord, there are things that we never anticipated, but we believe that You're God who is working in this world for Your will to be done. You are still the Almighty God. And in Your congregation here, God, help us to believe You by faith, and by faith go forward expecting that You are able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think. That You desire to receive glory in Your church. And so we ask, O Lord Jesus, that You who is the head of the body, the builder, You who is the sacrifice who gave Your all, so that Your church could be the pillar and ground of the truth, we ask, O Lord Jesus, that You will in all things be preeminent. For we pray it in Your name. Amen.